Don't worry, I'm not going to give you a long list of sponsorships and things that you need to buy. Instead, I'm just going to explain. What we do is we teach baking as lifestyle medicine. This is an evidence-based approach to baking, eating, and sharing bread that improves the gut microbiome and mental health. So let's just get straight into this podcast.
Two-thirds of life on Earth is invisible to the naked eye. And what do I mean by invisible? The term microbe or microorganism means a life form visible only under a microscope. Now, microbes have evolved to live almost everywhere, from deep sea volcanoes to our fingernails, from the soil to the stomachs of bees. They've evolved to eat almost everything, our leftover mashed potato, the flour in our sourdough starter, but even metals, acids, and natural gas. They are the beginnings and the endings of the food chain. So we eat them, we eat things that eat them, and they eat us when we die. So I thought it'd be helpful to start with what that is the microbiome. The word microbiome refers to the community of microscopic life in a particular environment. So we talk about the gut microbiome, don't we? We also talk about the soil microbiome. Technically, microbiome refers to the genetics or the genome of the microbes, and microbiota is the term for the community of actual microorganisms. However, microbiome is the thing that's most widely used outside of medical literature, and I'm just going to be using that today. So what microbes do we find in our gut? We've all heard of gut bacteria now, haven't we? But there are also archaea that look like bacteria, but they're actually very different in lots of ways. They're best known for living in extreme environments such as salt lakes, and we actually find them in some of our salts that we use, or in this thermal spring in Yellowstone National Park pictured here. So some of us also have an archaeon called Methanobrevibacter smithii, which is specialised to live in our guts, where it lives on the waste products of other bacteria. Now, they produce methane, which slows gut transit down, and I often see that as an overgrown population of that in clients with long-term constipation. So that's just an amazing thing. We've got some of these archaea that are developed to thrive in extreme environments. We've got one of them in our gut. We may also have single-celled protozoa, so that's something called like amoeba in our gut. Some are harmful, so you may have heard of Giardia, and some may be associated with healthy gut ecosystems. So another one that's often talked about is blastocystis. We also have different molds and yeasts. So you've almost certainly heard of Candida albicans, which can actually be a healthy component of the gut microbiome under the right conditions. And there are also viruses that are even smaller than bacteria. And bacteriophages, which are viruses that infect bacteria. And there are thought to be thousands of different bacteriophages in our gut, maintaining our bacterial populations in a dynamic stability. And there's just so little we understand about bacteriophages in particular. So we include all of these categories, really, when we talk about the gut microbiome or the microbiome. However, bacteria are best studied and the easiest to test for currently. So my practice and most of the information I'm going to talk about today will be focusing on bacteria. And I just want to give you a sense of scale as well. So this is the very tip of a non-sterilized needle. More than a million bacteria can fit on the tip of a needle, and viruses and bacteriophages are around 10 times smaller. So there are many more viruses than bacteria on Earth. It's like one drop of seawater will have 1 million bacteria in it and 10 million viruses. Now, this is a very short video. It's actually a CGI reel of an agency commissioned to provide graphics to an Australian documentary on the microbiome a few years ago. So these are scientifically accurate computer-generated graphics. Now, before I press play, I mean, you can just sit back and enjoy the visuals of what you're watching. But for those of you interested, I want to describe what you're going to see. First, you'll see several different species of gut bacteria, and you'll see they're different sizes, different shapes. And then the animation moves to show some bacteria living on your skin, and they're kind of communicating with each other, and they're forming what's known as a biofilm. And then you'll see, just this is actually a warning, you'll see some microscopic mites that most of us have living on our skin. Now they look scary, but they are usually healthy, so I don't want you to have nightmares about them. And then towards the end, you'll see this strange red structure, which is a bacteriophage. So that's the virus that infects bacteria. You'll see it injecting its genetic material into the bacterium, which then explodes, and that releases more bacteriophages to infect other bacteria. So, but you can also forget all of that and just enjoy the video. So I hope that set you up for being able to picture what I'm talking about. So in the human microbiome, the microbes mostly live on our skin, as you've just seen, and mucous membranes, such as the lining of our gut and airways. And that is where we meet the world. So over the past decade or so, we've been learning microbes are found throughout the body in areas previously thought to be sterile, such as the lungs and the womb. And each of us has several thousands of different kinds of microbes, and the mix is unique to each individual. On our hands, researchers have found that we've got a stable microbial community, and the particular mix on your hands is unique to you, but even your left hand is unique. It only shares around 13% of the same species as your right hand. So far from being dirty, we are, of course, realizing that these microbes are essential to our health and our immunity. Microbes form diverse and interactive communities that thrive as complex ecosystems, with some feeding off the waste products of others. And there's just such exciting research coming out now, mapping those relationships and interactions between different species in the gut. And they're highly organized communities. So it's not just about what species you have, how they behave and who they interact with. So it's a whole.
I really hope you've enjoyed listening to this. If the idea of prescribing baking as lifestyle medicine as an evidence-based approach to your patients to help them improve their physical and mental health through the bread that they bake, eat, and share every day appeals to you, then go to thesourdoughschool.com and learn how you can prescribe or teach this as part of your own practice. If you have just fallen in love with the whole concept and you just want to learn to do this for yourself and your family, you can self-prescribe at thesourdoughclub.com. I look forward to seeing you in some of our live sessions.